Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we're going to get into some things this morning. Can we throw that logo up there? You know, how many of you were here last week? If you were here last week, I really shared with you some stuff that the Lord had showed me in the middle of the night last week, and I haven't been able to put it down, but this is as close to we can get on a graphic scale of what I saw when the Lord sat down on the couch with me at 3 o'clock in the morning last week. And I'll just be honest with you, it hasn't been something I can just put away. This is one of those things that's just staying with me, and it just doesn't burn out. But basically what this is showing me is that most people are coming into our church about this level. Now, it doesn't mean everybody, so if you don't feel like that's you, then it probably isn't. But a lot of folks, when I saw in my vision last week, is a lot of folks weren't even there. They were really down around the E mark. And they were expecting to come to church. They were expecting to come to church and leave with a full tank. And that's not the church's job. The church's job is not to fill you all the way up. You're supposed to be filled every day. And, you know, in order to completely walk in freedom, and in order to completely walk in, and I mean, we could just start naming them off, the things that Christians say they want to walk in, all the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, I mean, what? Self-control, faith. I mean, we could just keep naming them off. If we want to walk in victory, if we want to walk in, you know, healing, or if we want to walk in a deeper spiritual walk, if we want to walk in all these things, you can't do it there at a quarter tank. You can't do it at where a lot of folks are living at that empty tank. You can't do it. And the thing is everyone's expecting, or not everyone, but a lot of people are expecting, you know, a ministry that they watch on TV, or when they go to this meeting, or they come to church on Sunday, or whatever, they're expecting all these things to happen. And they may go to a good church service, and they may get topped off a little bit, and they may go to a really good service, and they may get... But the thing is you're human. How many of you know that? You got something called flesh. How many of you know that? That's something that we all don't like to deal with, do we? You don't think you got flesh, just reach down and pinch it real hard. Yeah, you don't have a problem with your flesh. Your flesh will tell you if he's there. And the thing is because you're human, you're leaking everything that you put in anyway. So if you go to church on Sunday and then you're not expecting to get anything else until next Sunday, guess what happens by Monday? You're already empty. And guess what? You're just stranded. How many of you know if you ain't got gas in your car, you're stranded? Now, listen, I drive, some people have accused me of supporting the terrorists. Because I drive a gas guzzler, you know, and it's no fun sitting on the side of the road, and I've had that happen in that truck since I've had that Hummer. I have sat on the side of the road waiting for the road rangers because I ran out of gas, thinking that it had a little more than it did. All right, that's no fun. But how many? It's no fun to be stranded. And there's some folks that are stranded in where they are in their walk with God right now because they're not able to progress the way they think they should progress because they're not putting in, come on now, what needs to be put in there. They're expecting to get topped up here on Sundays, maybe if they got time during the week on Wednesdays, and then, you know, for anywhere in between, I'll watch my favorite preacher on TV, and then, you know, we'll just see what happens. But they're just still bogged down in their walk with God. They're not growing spiritually. They're not growing in any of these things. And it's because of your humanness. It is because of your flesh that you are leaking. All right? We can't go higher. We can't go deeper. We can't go further. We can't even grow in our walk with God if we're empty. When I was a kid, and my mom and dad are here today, they're here because we're leaving for Columbia after church today, and they're going to spend the week here with the kids. And so they said, well, you know, it'd probably be better if we just come down there. And I don't believe that. I mean, I just, wherever Grandma and Grandpa are, that's, or, you know, Grancy and J. Paul, that's what they go by. Wherever they are is where the kids will be fine. But I think they just like coming to Florida. I see them more now than I ever did in Oklahoma. I've probably seen them 50 times more last year than I did in the whole 11 years we lived in Tulsa. So, But my mom and dad are here today, and I was thinking about this, you know, when I was writing these things down last night. And the Lord gave me this message actually Monday, just pretty much in its entirety, but I was putting it together last night, you know, the intro and everything. And I was remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad would give me the gas card when I turned 16. How many times a week did you give me that gas card, Mom? Too many? Once a week. It was one time a week, and that was it. That's it. And I was just, you know, I was just getting old enough to get a job. And so once a week, I got their gas card to go fill up with gas. All right. And if you ran that tank out, you're done, or you got to figure out your friends are going to have to give you gas money or something. So I ended up getting a job at my uncle's grocery store. And now listen, I worked at my uncle's grocery store. I'm going to really show how old I am right now. $3.35 an hour. Anybody else remember those days? $2.56? Yeah. $3.35 an hour. I was 16 years old. But now gas was only about 79 cents a gallon. That was wonderful. For $25, you could fill your car up. All right? You know, $25 now gets you, what, 3 or 4 gallons? You know, those were the good old days, right? But I remember that if I remember driving throughout the week, and if I got the gas card on Monday, if it was Friday, and I was starting to get down there to the bottom, and let's see if anybody else remembers this, I started opening the ashtray to see if there's any coins in there, and to see, I mean, I'm looking underneath every seat. Anybody else remember that? I mean, literally, I remember one time pulling up to a gas pump and putting $1.37 in because that's all I had. But it got me through the night. And the thing is this is a very true illustration, because a lot of folks are expecting the church to fill them up, but they're only getting filled once a week. All right? And the thing is, you could have stopped driving a lot, maybe park your car or whatever, and then you wouldn't have used all your gas. Well, the thing is you're going to use all your spiritual fuel anyway, whether you go out and witness to the world or you don't. You're going to wake up tomorrow empty. It's there. It's something that you're going to have to do every day. You're going to have to fill yourself up every day. And you can't just be dormant with your gift of Christianity and the gift of the Holy Spirit living on the inside. You can't just be dormant and expect Him to just stay in there. He's leaking out because you're flesh. All right? And so you might as well just go ahead and use it all anyway. If you're going to be empty tomorrow anyway, you might as well just go ahead and use it all the way up anyway. Well, how do we use it? Well, you might as well just go ahead and witness to somebody. You might as well. You got him living on the inside of you. You might as well give him away, because he ain't going to be there in the morning just sitting there like, you're still full. You're going to have to fill up again. You might as well just go ahead and give him away. Well, you know, maybe if I don't do something that requires any anointing. Maybe, listen, you're going to be empty tomorrow anyway. You might as well just go ahead and share him. You might as well go ahead and pray for that person that needs prayer. You might as well go ahead and lay hands on that sick person. You might as well. You're going to have to refill again tomorrow. You might as well just go ahead and give it all away. Let me say this. You might as well go ahead and believe for that one thing that's just out of reach of your faith. You might as well go ahead and throw all your faith towards it anyway. You're going to have to fill up again tomorrow anyway. Why don't we start believing for things that are when we're talking next level stuff, why aren't we believing for that yet? Well, I'm really trying to build my faith up. Your faith's got to get built up every day. So you might as well go ahead and use it. Turn it loose today. If you're believing for a raise, go ahead and believe for the whole thing. Don't just believe for a stair step. Believe for the whole thing. You're going to have new faith tomorrow anyway. All right? So here in Ephesians chapter 5, and this is where we're going to springboard off of this, verse number 18 says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look. That's in the New Living Testament. Let's look at it in the King James. And be not drunk with wine. Don't you love the King James? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That's just so eloquent, isn't it? But be filled with the Spirit. Now, those two words right there, be filled. Now, that in some people's mind will make you immediately go to be filled one time and I'm full. I'm just full now. Be filled. How many of you know you can pour water in a glass and unless that gets emptied, that glass is full? Well, again, you are leaking. So that word be filled isn't be filled one time. Actually, if you look it up in the Greek, there is a play on that that actually means be in the state of constant filling. Or, as Brother Hagin used to say it this way, be being filled. Which means this, you need to stay full, and when you start to leak, you got to go fill yourself up again, and fill yourself up again, and fill yourself up again. The church, at most, now this is at most, you guys, is going to get you maybe half, maybe. But it's up to you to fill all the way up. That way when you come to church, you come to church, you're going to leave overflowing because you're already almost so full, we just go ahead and fill you up to overflowing. And how many of you know where the overflow is where other people really get to experience God that don't know Him? Why? Because it's splashing out of you, come on somebody, onto them. All right? So, how do we do that? Now listen, I'm gonna preach some basic fundamental things this morning, and if this is something, well, I already know this, we're going to talk about that attitude right there of I already know that. We're going to have a talk about that. Okay? So the first thing we do in order to, throw that logo back up there, in order to get ourselves to a full experience, if we want to get ourselves to a full experience, then the first thing that we got to put into ourselves is the input of the Word of God. Thank you for those three amens. The first one quarter part of the tank is the input of the Word of God. Some people get so much, they get so much into church and they're just so ready to get my praise on. You know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people that are like that. There are some people that are just like, well, okay, we've had enough preaching of the Word now. Can we have church? You know what I'm talking about? There are some people that's where they live. They're ready to get, quit reading the Bible and start praying. Oh, I want to pray. I just need to pray in the Spirit more. Or I just need to be in the presence of God more. Let's get past this. Let's do it. I know we got to do it. But can we get past it so we can get to the fun stuff? I want to say this. The foundation of you having church and getting your praise on and praying in the Spirit, the foundation for all that has to be in the Word of God. If you ain't doing it based on the Word of God, you ain't doing it. Oh, but you don't get it, Brent. You don't get it. Me and God got a real special understanding and a real special relationship. Baloney. You do not. If you don't, listen, you can't know Him deeper outside of the Word of God. Period. You can't. You can't grow spiritually outside of the Word of God. I don't care if Jesus Himself shows up at the foot of your bed and show, look, here, put your finger in the holes of my hands and here, thrust into my, no. If He showed up at the foot of your bed tomorrow and told you something contrary to the Word of God, it's not Him. How do you know that, though? Because He will always agree with His Word. And you can't do the next level unless you have the Word in you first. You're never going to know Him. You're never going to have your praise on. You're never going to, listen, you're never going to increase in anointing. You're never going to increase in relationship. You're never going to increase anything in the relationship with God unless you base it on the Word of God first. And the only way it can be based that way is if you put it in there. You can only praise Him to the level, to the point that you know Him. But it's impossible to know Him apart from the Word. You can only grow closer to Him through His Word. The input of the Word into your life is the first quarter tank of gas in your life. Now, we could go and just say that the Word is full of power. We see tons of examples of that throughout the Word of God. The Word is just all powerful. We get it. Mark 11:23 says, Jesus said, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. What are you speaking to the mountain? You're speaking, be removed, which is the word of God, because it says it right there. So guess what? If you say the word of God, it moves mountains. All right, that's part of the power. Okay, if you look in Genesis chapter 1, we see that the word of God is what formed and created everything. God said, let there be light. What do you think he said? That's the word of God right there. Let there be light. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The word of God is the basis for life itself. The fact that you're functioning is based on the fact of the word of God. Now, I'm going to read you a little bit of an article. I wish I could read the whole thing, but for time's sake, I'm only going to read part of it. This is something I found, and I read the whole thing a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, but some scientists at the Wyoming Institute of Technology in June of this year noted that while the DNA sequences they were seeing bore little resemblance to the coding of biological function, they bore a striking similarity to the patterns of human language. Now, let me tell you what they're looking at. They're looking at our strands of DNA under a microscope. And there's part of it, they know this is what your body is made of. This is, you know, this is this, and here's your hair color, and here's your, you know, and lack of hair, and this and this is why you're tall, and this is why you're short, and this is why you're pretty, and this is why some people aren't, this is why you're fat, and this way. I mean, they're just breaking it all down. But then they said that what they call junk DNA, where they don't really know what it does. So they started looking at it. And this is the part that they're looking at. It bore a striking similarity to the patterns of human language. Then if you skip down on in the article, it said this, the language in the junk DNA, the DNA that the scientists had for years discarded as useless, was indistinguishable from ancient Aramaic. Even more amazingly, as linguists started to translate the code within the human genome, they found that parts of the script it contained were at times remarkably close in comparison to verses that are found in the Bible, and at times contained direct biblical quotes. One of the parts of the junk DNA actually made this phrase in Aramaic. At the first break of day, God formed sky and land. That sounds a whole lot like Genesis 1:1, doesn't it? Then there's another part in there where they were looking and it says, there is another part of junk DNA that was translated this way. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. And this pattern was repeated over and over throughout the entire sequence of human DNA, embedded equivalent genetic code of ancient Aramaic that seems to translate as the word of God to his people. Now, they've admitted, they said, you know, listen, we're admitting that we might just be seeing this, and we're sending this off for other scientific people to back up what we're saying. But basically, what they're discovering is that the word of God is the basis of everything that's alive. Everything that's created. Anything that has DNA, the word of God runs through us. It is literally running through us. Now, this reminded me of a movie that I saw in the 90s. Many of you probably saw it too. Of a good-looking surfer guy named Keanu Reeves played Neo. Did anybody see The Matrix? God, I hope so. Or else this is going to really waste a lot of time. But The Matrix was about a computer-generated world and this is what he sees at the very end. Because Neo is the one who is supposed to break humankind away from. It's a very messianic movie, very much so. All right, he's supposed to break the human race is enslaved to the computers, and we're actually all living in a fake world. It's all formed by computers. And so he actually sees into the matrix. And what he's standing in is the hallway, and sees the three guys standing, and those are the bad guys. If you didn't see the movie. He's standing, and he sees it for what it is. The world that he's standing in is formed by a computer code.
Okay?
This sounds remarkably like what we just read. That the Word of God formed everything. That the worlds were framed
by the word
of God.
And if we could see in the Spirit
for what things really are,
it would probably look something like this, only instead of a bunch of green computer code,
it would be
God's
words,
whatever they are.
Making up those things. And so, if the Word of God is the basis for everything,
and I mean
everything,
why would we,
look at it as any other way,
any other thing,
any other foundation for what we need in order to
grow
in our relationship with God?
In the face of
all this power
that the Word has, and we just read tons of it, okay?
In the face of all this power that the Word of God has, there is one part of this power that has the greatest bearing on you as a believer. Now, all the rest of it's great. All the rest of that power is great. But there is one part of that power that is... And listen, I know that the Word of God is unlimited in its power. Okay? It's you know, unlimited. You can't... We'll never be able to measure the fullness of the power of the Word of God. But there is a measure of it that is set up to specifically impact you as a believer greater than anything else that, that the Word of God does. There is one part that is specific to just the believer and their own life and their walk with God. And it is there is no other reason that this portion of the power of the Word of God exists except for this. Okay? The believer is most affected by this measure, and it's found over in Romans. Turn over there, Romans chapter 10. Is anybody else hot? Did we turn it on? Okay. All right. Probably not a good idea to be wearing a jacket that I'm going to be wearing in Columbia this week, because it's springtime down there. And they said, oh, yeah, it's in the 50s and the 60s. And I was like, good Lord, Arctic conditions? No. I've been in Florida too long. All right. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. Now, this is going to sound very fundamental, but I want you to catch this. So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Now, the most important part of the power of the Word of God, check this out, is to increase your faith. But why? It's so that you can wield the rest of the power that the Word of God has. We want to blame, you know, not blame, but we all want to go to the praying in the Spirit side, and we all want to go to the wild side, and we all want to go to the party time in church, and we all want to have those wild services. But listen to me. Listen to me closely. You can't wield the power of God unless you experience it first through His Word. If your faith isn't strong enough to, you're just a little kid carrying something that's too big for you. All right, here's a good example. My kids are now at the age where they can get in the refrigerator and get stuff on their own, which is kind of scary. Preston, not so much. Peyton, oh, Lord, have mercy. I mean, we're thinking about putting an alarm on the because you don't know what he's going to come out of there with. But the other day, he came walking over with a cup, and he was I saw his arm behind him. He was walking like this, and I was like, and he had the whole gallon of milk in his hand. And I'm going, oh, my God. Here, let me just walk real slow over there because I could just see him throwing it or something and it going everywhere. And so I walk over real slow, and I'm getting it from him. And I had this thought. That is what many people are trying to do with the Spirit and the power of God. They're trying to wield it, and they're not strong enough to even lift it. Now, check this out, though. What's going to make my son stronger? Drinking the milk. There's something in the milk that's going to make him stronger, right? It's, you know, formula, whatever, you know, there is something in there that makes him stronger. So the thing is there's a part of that that's going to increase him so that he can be stronger. But listen, if he doesn't ever, if he just dragging it around all the time and never drinks it, if he doesn't partake of it, he isn't going to grow to the point where he can stand up and do it himself. Listen, oh, the Word is so hard. We're going to get to that in a minute. The Word is so boring. The Word is so this. The Word is so that. I'm beyond that. Listen, you need to experience the part of the Word of God that actually strengthens you so that you can go to the next level. You can't wield the power of God without the faith in God, and your faith can't be based on anything else except it can't be based on anything else and still expect the power to be wielded in your life. Everything, and I mean everything, everything in the kingdom of God works on faith. Everything. You have to receive everything by God in faith, including, and we all know salvation is given by the grace of God through faith, okay? The Holy Spirit baptizing is by faith, okay? Healing, come on somebody, it's by faith. Prosperity, it's by faith. But let's take it a little further. Deeper revelation, come on folks, it only comes by faith. Closer to God, only comes by faith. You can't get these things without the entrance of the Word of God. If it's not going in first, you're not, listen, if you're not reading your Bible, you aren't going to grow spiritually, no matter whose ministry you're sitting under. If you don't read it, they could get up and be the Apostle Paul. You're not going to grow. Okay? Those things that come from greater faith. Well, what do you think comes, where does greater faith come from? It has to come from the input of the Word of God. And I got this revelation this morning while I was in the shower, because I said to God, I was like, Lord, just anoint the service this morning, and Lord, anoint your word as it goes out. And he said to me, son, my word's anointed whether you ask me or if it's not. And I was like, duh, you're right. I'm sorry I even asked that. The word is anointed, meaning the power of God rests on it, is in it, working through it. The word of God is anointed already, and the only way to get that anointing inside of you is how? Read it. Now let's talk about just real quick some barriers that people overlook inputting the word of God. Number one, arrogance. I know that already. I heard that from somebody else. You're not preaching anything I don't already know, which is some of you sitting in here right now. Arrogance is a belief in yourself. And when you start a sentence by saying, I, who are you putting the faith in? I already know that. Well, guess where your faith is? On you. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18 says, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. When it comes to reading the word, if you already know that, you are in pride. Faith cannot live in the arrogant person who already knows that. And you can walk this out. People who go, well, I already know that. Try and get them to pray and believe for something to happen in their life. Struggles. Can't keep a job. Can't keep their bills paid. Can't keep healthy. Always something wrong. You know why? Because they already know that. That's arrogance, folks. And God's not going to give you grace because you're not going and putting the word in. And if you're not putting the word in, guess what? Your faith is weak. No matter if you already know it. You know why? Because God don't care how much you know. Faith can't live in the arrogant person who already knows that. The Word is alive. And what you read today is only what you, come on now, were able to understand today. That is not the full understanding of living Scripture. And you will never exhaust the full meaning of what God means in His words. Sometimes we just don't have to get over ourselves. I already know that. No, you don't. You may know the idea of it, but you do not know the full comprehensive understanding of that. Brother Hagin was 86 years old when he went home to be with the Lord, and they found the current Bible that he was using. I've been in his office and actually went through the vault of Bibles that he has there that were all his from when he started preaching, and there's some that are literally falling apart. The binds were, I mean, seriously, the pages are falling out. There's notes written in it. I do pretty good highlighting and taking notes and stuff, but his was literally like the whole thing was all highlighted and there was notes. They had it. They found his Bible that he was reading earlier that day, opened up to a passage of Scripture that he probably preached on 500 times. with a date in a red pen of something that he wrote and wrote it out to the side that God had showed him that day. Something new. That's an 86 years old prophet who preached for 50, 60 years. Still getting fresh revelation. What makes you think that you know it all? Get over yourself. What you think you know, don't base it on that. Ask God to show you the next meaning of that. God will continue to give grace to those who keep going back and keep going back and keep going back and keep reading the same thing over and over and over and over. And they get over themselves and go, oh, I've read this 1,000 times. I know God, you know, will meet all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Then all of a sudden the light bulb comes on. Oh, it's based on Christ Jesus. It's not on just him wanting to do it. Oh. Now some of you are already going, what's he mean by that? Go read it. Ask God to show you. The next barrier that people have is they're naive. I don't understand the word. It's kind of hard for me to get when I read it, so I just don't read it because I'm not really getting anything out of it anyway. Now listen, being a youth pastor for 22 years, I heard that a million times. Brent, the word is so hard to understand. I mean, it's so, oh, I open it up and I'm just like, oh, I don't know what he means. So I just don't read it. That's naive. That's naivety. It's hard to grasp. I just don't want to read it. Psalms chapter 119, verse number 30. The entrance of your word brings life. Light, excuse me, brings light. I want to say this. You cannot understand the word unless you're reading the word. You will never get it if you don't read it. It will never become easy if you're not putting it in. You cannot speak the word unless you're reading the word. You cannot have the benefit of the word unless you're inputting the word. To say you don't understand it anyway shows that you don't understand the process of how the word works. The only way you will ever understand the fullness of God's word is by constant input of God's word. You are not capable of capturing what's in the word of God by osmosis. Show me. Seriously. I don't care how anointed the service is. I don't care if signs and wonders. I don't care if the fire of God fell down. That is not going to just, I suddenly understand all scripture. And it's, I mean, if a pillar of fire showed up in this church today, which we would probably have a big crowd the next week if that happened, some amazing things would probably happen. But nobody's going to walk out of here and go, I don't need to read this again because now I get it all because the fire of God showed up. And that's not how it works. It's not by osmosis, and you can't just be in a good service around spiritual people and get it. Okay? You have to put it in. So don't be naive to think it's too hard to understand. It'll never be easy to understand if you're not putting it in. The last one, disrespect. It's disrespectful to consider that the Word of God is boring. It's disrespectful to think it's irrelevant and doesn't have a place in the world today. Most secular, carnal people don't understand the spiritual side of the Bible, nor the spiritual side of man, but needless to say, man is a spirit. And we are put in a body, and God gave us a mind. But how can we look at a spiritual writing from the Father of spirits and fully comprehend it with a natural mind? People that think it's irrelevant are thinking about it naturally speaking. When people think, well, that's for weak-minded people. No, it's by people who don't run our mind by what you think. I'm not going to disrespect God by saying it's irrelevant in my life. Why? Because that means I don't really understand anything. I'm showing my ignorance and my carnality by saying there's no place in that today. Well, that's good that the Bible says that, but I got a lot going on in my life that I really need something. No, you don't. You need this. Don't disrespect that because you don't get it. This is the answer that you're looking for. Man is a spirit, and the only way you can capture this is through a new spirit. A lot of people feel that that you know, I'm going to wait till the pressure hits and see what comes out. But when the pressure hits, and somebody who thinks the Word of God is irrelevant, what do they usually do? They're calling every Christian they know, asking them to pray for them. Why? Because when the pressure hits a Christian, what comes out? The Word. And if you're a Christian and the Word doesn't come out when a problem hits you, what is coming out? Oh, snap. Seriously, can we get real? Listen, you are a big sponge whether you realize it or not. And when you get pressure put on you, may walk around and look like nothing's going on, but when you get pressure put on you, what's coming out of you? What's coming out? I mean, are you full of good, clean, pure, living water, as Jesus said? Or are you full of dirty, rotten, secular thinking that just you think's what's going to make sense? What comes out of those people that think it's irrelevant? What comes out of those people that think it doesn't have a place? Everything but the Word. And let me tell you something. In a pinch, in a bind, if the Word isn't coming out of your mouth, you're giving a great big green light to your problems and saying, have free rein in my life, do whatever you want. If a problem hits, and sure, it rocks you. Sure, it makes you mad. Sure, you get emotional. I get it. Listen, I'm going to just be honest with you. The last 2 weeks have been hell on earth. I'm literally hell on earth. We've been going through it. But what I say it all the time. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. But I'll just be telling you, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be transparent. We've been going through it. Through it. Okay? But what keeps coming out? Oh, God, what are we going to do? I quit. Because that would be real easy. Just let me be honest with you. That would be real easy. Be real simple. Okay? Oh, man, I'm so sick of this. Yeah, I am sick of it. But it can't just stop there. What's coming out? What's coming out? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. That's what's coming out. I'm the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. That's what's coming out. He causes all things to work together for my good because I love him. That's what's coming out. And all it is pressure. And see, that's how stupid the devil is when he puts pressure on you. If you're full of the Word of God, what do you think comes out and affects him? The Word. But if it's not coming out, you're not putting enough in. And if everything else under the sun is coming out, you're giving that green light to your problems and saying, go ahead, do whatever you want. It's the other things that are relevant. The other things that are, you know, there is a place for it today. Those are the things that have no power and can't stop bad things from happening. I mean, seriously, every time a society, and not just America, anywhere in the world, anytime God is lessened in a society, when has it ever gotten better? Ever. When did it ever get better? When they removed God from something. Well, if you remove the Word of God from your life, what makes you think it's going to get better? If you're not reading the Bible and spending time inputting it in the Word, what makes you think your life's going to get better? But when you have the Word, and we're going to blaze through some Scripture and wrap this up a lot. But when you have the Word, you have some amazing power working in. And when you're putting it in, you can wield this kind of power. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. Lord, I don't deserve to have you under my roof, but just say the Word, and my servant will be healed. Psalm 19, verse 11 says, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20 says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life. Come on, somebody, to those who find them, and health to one's body. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Psalm 119 verse 130 says, "The teaching of your word gives life, so even the simple," that means the stupid, that means the dumb people, okay? "The simple can understand," all right? Psalm 19 verse number 8 says, "The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight," come on somebody, "for living." 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God," come on somebody, "may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every," somebody better get happy about that, "every good work." There ain't nothing that I can't do if I'm basing it on the Word. And if I'm not doing every good work, that means I'm not got enough of this in me. And all of you who are wanting a deeper walk with God, start here. Those of you who want to be used more, start here. Those of you who want to have church, start here. Those of you who want an outpouring of the anointing, start here. Because the input of the Word is the foundation for everything else. And if the foundation's strong, come on, everything else that's built on it is. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, thank you for our time together today. Thank you, Lord, that your Word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that it does desire to improve me. But, Lord, I got to have it in me to wield the rest of that. Lord, help me to understand that. Help us to get that. Lord, help us, the things that we're believing for can be found in your Word. And if I want that power wielded in my life, I got to read it. I got to devour it. I got to input it all the time. Help us to see that. Help us to know that. Some of you right now are facing some things you're believing for. Some of you are looking for increase. Some of you are looking for answers. And the Word, your Bible's been sitting there with dust on it. Some of you have been looking for things to take you to a deeper understanding, and your Bible's sitting there with dust on it. Some of you have been looking for peace in the midst of some hard times, and your Bible is remaining closed. These last 2 weeks, I've been reading, I mean, I read the Bible anyway, but I've been devouring it more and more in the face of sleepless nights, in the face of temptation to worry. I just pick up the Bible and start reading it. And that's what you need to be doing. It needs to happen more often. And it can't just be, well, a duty. It has to be done as part of the relationship. Because the Word is what builds your faith, and you will be able to wield the mountain-moving power that Jesus talked about. If that's you and you're in here today and you know I'm talking to you, listen, I just want to pray with you and agree with you. You don't have to come down here. I just want to be able to agree with you and pray that you are strengthened by today's message to go out and start putting that Word in more often. If you just say, "Pastor, just pray for me. I want to do that this morning." Just slip your hand up and say, "Pray for me, Pastor. You're talking to me." Yeah. Hands going up all over the room. That's good. Praise God. Lord, you see all these hands right now. Lord, they're all desiring to go up a level. And Lord, they got to have your Word to do it on. So Father, I just agree with them right now that as they step out to do that, they step into their reading of the Bible. Lord, that it's not just a duty anymore. It becomes a living, even if it's living already, it goes up and it becomes more alive in their life. I agree with them right now for greater revelation, Lord, for greater faith, for stronger action to happen in their life right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.